Welcome to the King James Bible Seminary. My name is Myron Boffman, and I'll be your instructor today in the Word of the Lord. This is the Major Prophets class, and we'll be looking at Judges chapter 8 today. Title of today's lesson is Left Behind. Left Behind. Alright, memory verse is Judges 8, verse 4. I'll read that to you, and while you're turning there in your Bibles, and you should have your seminary classroom notes with you. You can take notes and go along. The classroom and the seminary notes are the beginning of your studies. This is just a basic beginning, and you are to study more thoroughly, besides what is in the classroom here. Judges chapter 8 verse 4 says, And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. End quote. Now, you probably need to read Judges chapter 7 if you haven't already in your course here. But for those who are just listening into the today's lesson, please read the previous chapter to get the context of what's going on here. Judges 7 is an important passage. Now, Gideon and his armed forces had won a huge, miraculous battle over the enemy, being outnumbered terrifically by the enemy. And the enemy fled away in defeat, and they fled away in an attempt to escape. Gideon and his brave 300 warriors pursued after them, tired and hungry after the battle. Now, in their pursuit, they came across two cities. First one is Succoth, and we find this city, capital S-U-C-C-O-T-H. Okay. some of you writing this down instead of looking at their notes, or some of you don't have notes. Okay, notes are available. We've seen this city in Genesis chapter 33, verse 17. And also, the second city is Peniel, capital P-E-N-I-E-L, found in Genesis chapter 32, verse 30. Now, those two cities should have been grateful for the historic victory and should have therefore given them aid, assistance. Food and water are necessary for any army, as Napoleon historically stated at one time, quote, an army travels on its stomach, end quote. Now, as far as Napoleon goes, sadly he chose to never carry needed supplies such as food and water and even blankets, medical supplies or anything, so that his soldiers would travel lightly and quickly. Now, consequently, to this policy, his army would always have to go out and rob the countryside that they were either invading or inhabiting. And this caused the public as well as his own soldiers to despise and hate him. Obviously, they didn't like the policy because it left them without the necessary things. Gideon, on the other hand, was a hero who was liberating his people, not conquering like Napoleon and invading neighboring nations, either friendly or unfriendly. Now, Gideon saw through his experience here that servitude wasn't necessarily external, but within the heart. These people, these two cities, would not give him aid, because they were still captive in their hearts to the enemy. Therefore, the people of these cities would not participate in their own liberation. Such people's liberation must be won for them, even as Christ did for us, who were in times past quite comfortable in our own sin. Gideon's men were weary, hungry. A word translated as hungry or famished in Genesis chapter 25, verse 30, which same word was used by in Hebrew by Esau. Famished. So these men were beyond hungry, actually. But Gideon wasn't granted even a loaf of bread. Not very compassionate. Now, these two cities were doubters and not faithful to the Lord, not believing in the victory and the power of the Lord. So the city of Peniel relied also not on the Lord, but on his strong tower of defense, which proved to be a false faith that Gideon later justly tore down. Because of the refusal of these two cities to help in a time of need, Gideon left these cities behind to go win the victory for the Lord and his country. He left behind the people that should have joined him in the fight, as well as the needed provisions that would have given refreshment, needed refreshment, to his soldiers. Now, Gideon returned later after his final victory over the enemy and slew the leaders of the city justifiably because he put his their policies put his soldiers in danger. As well as he also destroyed parts of the cities, the high tower, the strong tower. The people of these cities suffered more of a loss than what they would have given up in their efforts to assist Gideon. They lost more than what they were asked for initially. If they would have participated and cooperated as they were expected to and as they should have, they would have been rewarded and would be partakers of the victory. Instead, they chose loss and disgrace. Gideon had the working policy, in putting it another way, sort of that if a person or city or country, group of people wasn't for him, they were against him. No neutral ground. So Gideon had warned those who were left behind that he would return after his victory and punish them. Now the application for all this is obvious. If we don't help the Lord in the Lord's kingdom in fighting for it, then we must suffer loss at his return. Christ will return one day soon and judge us, and that we, in what we have done with our time and our resources. As the parable of the talents in the New Testament so speak, the lost will suffer total loss, as the burning bush demonstrated for Moses in the Old Testament, which was a consuming fire that didn't consume all of what it was consumed. Was burning, and this is what the lost will have to deal with for all eternity. A consuming fire that doesn't actually totally consume. Now, as Christ stated, the meek shall inherit the earth, which indicates the righteous win the victory through Christ over the wicked. As in the Gideon illustration, the wicked are removed, leaving the righteous. The lost are removed from the face of the earth in the tribulation, not the righteous, as in Noah's day. If you notice, the flood washed all the others away. Just those who found grace remained. There are those who choose not to help, but then they face punishment. They have loss. They'll have loss in the future. They'll lose rewards if they're believers. And this is not just at the second coming. So it is best to work for the Lord while it is yet day. Now, he may come for us individually at any time, not just at the second coming, as so many people are looking for the rapture at any second. So, many who put off the needed prayer and obedience in favor of their own ways and doings just may not have a chance to repent and believe as they should and obey. Many occupy hospital beds that are so sedated, unable to respond, that for them it is too late. Now, we never know when it's too late, even when there's somebody laying in the hospital bed in what is called a coma. You can still talk to them about Jesus and salvation and pray that that'll get through. That is not an ideal situation, and we hope nobody has to go through that. Accidents and bad events happen without warning, leaving the victims unprepared. We that belong to him and are part of his kingdom need to stay in what is commonly called prayed up, because he may come back any second for us. We need to stay prayed up, as well as being faithful in all things, that we may be rewarded when he comes for us. We always need to be looking for him, as it states in the New Testament. Also, let us notice that Gideon didn't give up or be discouraged by the lack of support from others. He and his men were faint yet pursuing. They hadn't given up or given in. Often there are discouraging things that come along in life that work against us personally or on our plans that may seem perfectly good, which in our opinion the Lord should bless. Yet the struggle seems to continue, though without obvious assistance or success. One may actually wonder if the Lord is truly with us at times of severe distress. These are times not to waver, but to stand firm. Sadly, quite often, it is members of your own family or friends who are the most discouraging. To be sure, it is right to be based on biblical principles in whatever we do. Go on as Gideon did, with or without encouragement from others. What we do should be based on our understanding, sound understanding of the scriptures, and we need to look to see in our examination of what we're doing and saying, is it beneficial to the Lord's work and his people? And could it be detrimental in any way to some, especially of his people? So we need to be careful what we say and do, that we are actually building the Lord's church and his kingdom, and not being inadvertently tearing it down. So we need to pray about it. Now, along this line, we recall the words of Margaret Clarkston, which is a song or poem was written for the purpose of missions. But this can be missions at home and abroad, and our endeavors for the Lord. Okay, now a lot of people don't picture being a home missionary just by serving the Lord, but that's actually what you are. If you're serving the Lord here at home, in your home, and in your neighborhood, and at work. So, this is what Margaret Clarkston penned. And this was one, once upon a time, a very popular song. I don't know if any of you are familiar with it, but anyways, it's So Send I You. It reads like this, and it gives you an accurate picture of serving the Lord and working for Him. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown, to bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. So send I you to bind the bruised and broken, over wandering souls to work, to weep, to wake, to bear the burdens of a world aweary. So send I you to suffer for my sake. So send I you to loneliness and longing, with heart a-hungering for the loved and known, forsaking kin and kindred, friend and dear one. So send I you to know my love alone. So send I you to leave your life's ambition, to die to dear desire, self will resign, to labor long and love where men revile you. So send I you to lose your life in mine. So send I you to hearts made hard by hatred, to eyes made blind because they will not see, to spend though it be blood, to spend and spare not. So send I you to taste of Calvary. As the Father hath sent me, so send I you. Now this song is recited at our graduations. There are those who want nothing of mission work, however. You don't have to pack up and ship abroad to be a missionary, as we have stated. In this, you are not left behind. You can be right at home and be a missionary. Now, you may not think of it, as I stated. You don't even have to think of it that way. Now, this is properly done first at home with one's own family. Now, we should not be ashamed to witness to our family members, no matter how they may feel about it or about us. A good life, righteous before God and man, is a great witness. It is a great way to introduce it. It's a great start. Now, family prayer and Bible reading on a daily basis will greatly enhance the strength of a Christian foundation to any family, even if started a little at a time and ever so slowly. You will find that doing such will solve some problems, but it may actually cause some. but it's worth doing. Now, the basic unit of the church is the family. And let it be understood that really the basic unit of the nation is the family. If families fall apart, then so does the nation. Now, keep in mind, there is nothing really wrong with a house church. Early New Testament churches were formed and met in homes of the believers. Along this line, you may also include and invite friends and neighbors. Now, some places, some apartments are too small to do anything like that. So you have to keep in mind what you're capable of doing. Sometimes you could meet outside, outdoors. And in some countries, you may have to meet or hide in secret. And there's nothing wrong with an underground church where you worship the Lord in secret out of necessity because of the absolute crushing persecution. Being a Christian in some countries is a death sentence. That's a prayer request right there. Now, we are, no matter what we're doing, whether we're meeting in our home or we're at work, we are to remember that we are to spread the gospel one way or another. Now, the message is quite simple, and deep theology really isn't necessary. The message is so simple that a small child may understand it. Let me put it as simple as I can state it. The message is, Jesus saves. Amazingly, once this is understood by an individual, things start going in the right direction. And the more the Lord and the Holy Spirit takes control, they'll continue to go in the right direction spiritually for that individual. If Christians find time to daily pray and have devotional times in the home and actually live their faith, crime will go down in society and divorce rates will plummet. The answer to why our general civilization is viewed as crumbling is found in the home. The problem is in the homes, and faith has been cast out of there. Prayer and Bible reading was discontinued in the home before it was taken out of the public schools in America. Now, in America, keep in mind, there is no separation of church and state clause in the U.S. Constitution. So all that has been imposed upon us through the atheists' powers that be. Now, in conclusion, we're going to draw this lesson to a conclusion here. We need to sum up basically what this lesson has taught. Some of the basic things first and foremost. Don't get left behind by unbelief. The Lord's army marches on and forward. If there is a just cause, then help the just cause for the Lord as you can, as you have the ability, if it is indeed a just cause for the Lord. Even small battles are important, especially personal daily ones. Just causes can be and are best handled at the personal level, not necessarily on a big public national scale. I know everybody wants to join the bandwagon and get on to something that's being campaigned for that sounds right. But you know, there are many around you who are struggling and have personal battles that need help. Now, in your efforts, be sure to turn those over to the one who has won the victory for all of us. But get involved, and we don't need to be aloof. We need to stay away from false hopes, false causes, and fleshy high towers of our own making. Those need to be and will be tore down. We are mostly encouraging everybody here in the classroom to do volunteer work. King James Bible Seminary and the church consists of volunteers. We're not here for the money. You need to ask yourself, what can I do? Personal intervention is important and may be necessary at times. If you need help helping someone, get it. Now, the best personal support anyone can have, anyone can participate in, is prayer. So we need to uphold everybody that we know who is in need. We need to uphold each other in prayer, faith believing, trusting the Lord. And with that, we're going to close this lesson concerning Gideon being left behind. Left behind wasn't exactly what some people think about. Let's go to the Lord with a word of prayer, trusting Him for these things. Let's bow. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee now for Your love to us, and Your love so much that You sent Your Son to earth to die for us. We thank Thee so much for Him dying on that horrible, miserable cross for our sakes. We pray now that Thy Holy Spirit will lead, teach us, guide us, direct us, that Thou will watch over us and help us, Lord, to witness properly, as we should, of Thee, and teaching others, pointing each other, others in the right direction toward Thee, one way or another. We don't have to be in pulpits. Lord, cause us to be faithful in our service, humble though it may be. And we pray now that You'll just watch over each one and protect, guide. And we pray for the salvation of each one in our family and in our hearts that is lost. I pray that You will have a special way with them as You do, and bring conviction and the power of the Holy Spirit to turn them around as You have done us. And pray for the sick, those in the hospital. We pray especially for them. If it be Thy will that You raise them up out of that sick bed and bring them back to serve Thee. We ask now that You just be with the words of this lesson. May it have brought honor and glory to Thee. Forgive us of our sins, Lord. We fail Thee so miserably. Now, Lord, we pray these things in the name of our loving Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. We base this upon the blood of the everlasting covenant. For it is in Christ's name we pray. Amen.